It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you all along. And put the band back together. Mike and I had to be separated last week, as we do every rodeo, because you're on assignment.
Yeah.
In other words,
fishing.
And I'm fishing too. Let me just complain for a second. The way this has happened over time means I'd never offshore fish during the rodeo anymore.
Right.
Mike does. I stay so I can do all the shows.
Plus, you got a judge.
I get judge liars contests and all that. But I mean, I get, you know, I fish for 4 hours. I go do a radio show. I mean, I do radio show, you know, smelling like bait.
Yeah.
I do that. Go back out, go fish, and go do another event for, you know, for the rodeo, you know, for the coverage, and then back out to fish. And you just fish the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm lodging my complaint.
Hey, you get to do the judging at the liars contest, and I don't. So, I miss that.
I'll tell you what. You give me your boat, and you trade with me.
I was lying,
Sean. Yes, you were, exactly. So we will do some rodeo recap on today's show. And by the way, like I said, during Midday Mobile during the week, as always, I mean, it is amazing the number of folks I get to see. It's sometimes like people I see a good bit. Sometimes it's people I see once a year.
Yep.
And I see them on the island during the rodeo. And I love to visit with y'all and just catch up. So it's good stuff. All right. And something brand new here at FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. And we're super excited about this. New partnership with the folks at J&M Tackle. I mean, you know the store. Do you know the people in the store? Well, we're going to get to know the people in the store and what they're catching over, you know, each week. We'll do a check-in. And this guy, you watch him, social media, he's everywhere. And you can also see him in person, not just in pictures, at J&M. Chris Veche from J&M Tackle joining us now. Chris, thanks for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
You good from rodeo, or can I mark you safe from, you know, y'all had Blue Marlin Grand Championship and the rodeo going on?
Oh, we had that. We had Blue Angels. We had all kinds of things. It was quite a weekend.
Yeah, a lot going on. So, and you were talking during the news break before we came on that maybe it's not by the calendar or whatever, but to me, it's like the second half of our summer fishing. Like, it's first half is pre-rodeo, second half is after rodeo. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. Plus, with the big game tournament scene we have here, we're now, after the Grand Championship, everything starts to taper off. Kids will be going back to school here soon. So before long, once we get into August and then September, it's kind of like local summer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a time to relax a little more on top of that. You know, it's not as crowded on the beaches, not as crowded offshore, so we always look forward to it. Now, don't get me wrong, I'd rather be busy every single day, but I take advantage of it.
Absolutely. And more parking spaces at the ramp.
Yes, sir.
And fewer people out there. So let's talk about this, too. First of all, we'll go from out and come in here. But, you know, mm-hmm. we just had Bertha come through. So that's obviously churned a lot of stuff in the Gulf up. I don't know if y'all were looking at the wave heights, you know, out of Dauphin Island, pretty significant. Chopped stuff up out there. So there's going to be some reset. But, like, traditionally, after a big tropical storm, something like that, what's your experience on where the blue water fishing goes after that?
Well, it really just depends. We had a huge pocket of very dirty, low salinity water that was inside of, say, 75, 80 miles, been just kind of sitting offshore here. And usually when you have a storm like that, it can push, you know, you always get people saying it pushes blue water, but that's just not always the case. It's the hopeful idea, the hopeful mindset. But I'm hoping that when you get that much wind, that much turbidity, it churns everything up. It helps kind of start blending that dirty water out there. And usually you do get cleaner water following a storm like that. It's just we haven't had good satellite imaging from Hilton's offshore. You know, we've had a lot of cloud cover still. So hopefully in the next 2 days we can see what's going out there. Also with that rough weather is we didn't have reports.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of blind right now.
leading up to Bertha, I mean, amazing, the luck of getting all those tournaments in before this tropical weather. How was blue water fishing going into, you know, last week?
It was improving for sure. We had customers that went out towards the FADS to the southeast near the spur, and there were some tunas caught, some wahoo, a couple billfish caught at the rigs. The water wasn't terrific, but it was getting better, and hopefully Bertha is going to help, you know, like you say, kind of blend that, kind of push that cleaner water in and expedite that.
All right, let's come back inshore here. And snapper season so far for y'all, your folks coming in out of J&M Tackle, how's it been for them?
It's been a very good season. Once you get into early, mid-July, after the fish have been hit for 5-6 weeks, you know, they can get lockjaw. They can be more difficult to catch. But I feel like most of our anglers are still seeing plenty of action. Your close-in stuff is always going to be tough. You got to scale down on tackle, leader size, hook size.
Paint that picture for us.
Deeper spots, though, it really helps.
Paint that picture for us. A lot of times we'll just, even on this show, we'll just say, hey, scale down, everybody. But you do this for a living. They're a J&M Tackle. So mm-hmm. give me, we know there's fish there, but we're not getting the bites of the keeper fish. Give me leader, give me hook. What are you doing?
If I'm fishing close in, public spots especially, which a lot of guys are, I'm going to drop down to like 30 or 40 pound leader, usually fluorocarbon, smaller circle hooks, anywhere from 2 to 4 aught, depending on the bait we're using. And I'm either going to freeline bait substructure, or I'm going to use lightweight knocker rigs, like 1/8 ounce, 1/4 ounce knockers. And we're going to just feed those out real slow, have 2 or 3 rods going at once. And I catch far more of my bigger snapper during the pressured time of the year doing that on that lighter tackle. Are you going to lose more because you're fishing lighter tackle? Well, sure, you are going to lose some fish, but I still think we land majority of them, especially if we can get them to bite on the 40 pound.
Yeah. And getting them to bite, you know who doesn't lose fish is people who don't get a bite.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a great
tip.
That
can't even be a problem at that point.
I mean, that's a great tip for somebody who's fishing public spots and they're not getting bites and not catching fish, and their recorder is marking mm-hmm. tons of fish.
And everybody's been there. Everybody's looked at it like, is marking up good?
That's right. You know, you just have to change your tactics on it and your tackle.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are you putting on? You talking about what baits you're using? What are you? I mean, I know I'm a sucker for live baits, but what do you do?
Well, I'm gonna definitely have a buffet on board. I don't like going out with just one type of tackle. I'm always gonna try to catch live bait on top of it. But I would say just sometimes just going down on your bait size as well. Like, it's not even so much that cigar minnows aren't working as much as take the cigar minnows, cut them into smaller pieces, smaller baits, smaller presentation on that lighter gear, and it's amazing how many bigger fish we catch doing that. You know, if you're free lining, whether it's a live pinfish, a whole cigar minnow, a whole squid, whichever, if you're not getting bites on it, and especially using the bigger hooks that you usually need, because you want to size your hook to your bait, not so much what you're trying to catch. So when you're using those small, easy, you know, little bite-sized pieces of bait on that smaller tackle, you will catch bigger fish a lot of time on those heavily pressured areas.
There you go. Y'all put that into practice going
good
out.
Good tip.
If just joining us, talking to Chris at J&M Tackle, let's switch to inshore. Although before we get inshore, I'm picturing us coming in. We're coming in through the pass. There's a heck of a story because Mike was showing me a picture or video of a Goliath grouper that was caught during the rodeo. I mean, this is like Florida stuff, right? And then we were talking about this before we went on, and you said, oh, well, that's not the only one. That they're at the pass as well?
Oh, yeah. We've had a couple of them caught right in Perdido Pass from the wall, not even from boats. And we'll end up hooking. You'll end up hooking some of these fish while you're fishing in there for reds and sheephead and things. And you usually know if you got one because it feels like you hooked a car. And, you know, you're fishing light tackle, and it's just dumping line, gets in the structure, breaks you off. But we also get them out around the jetties. We'll sometimes see them diving, you know, free diving out there and spear fishing and stuff. And so every year you usually end up with, you know, a few of them in the pass, and every now and then one of them gets caught. But also on the offshore structures, we've had customers bring us, you know, pictures of the ones they've caught. You know, after hooking the fish 20 times, they go back to the same spot with a heavier outfit and get the fish a boat. And, I mean, some of these fish are pushing 200 to 250 pounds or better.
Yeah, the video that I got, a friend of mine, Gary Smallwood, sent it to me, and it was a video of Tom Eberle, which everybody knows Tom Eberle just about that does any tarpon fishing for sure. I mean, he's a big tarpon fisherman, but he was actually shark fishing when he caught this Goliath grouper. Great video of it.
How big was that one?
Very cool.
I don't know how big it was, but it looked like it's 200 pounds or so.
You know, and thinking about that, though, you know, you mentioned the pass and like free diving. So when I was young, we used to pole spear fish the jetties, right? Spear fish there with the Hawaiian slings and all that. And I didn't see them back then, but that would have been, I'm old. So that would have been 90s, you know, late 80s, early 90s in there. But so obviously that's, maybe they're there and I didn't see them, but that was news to me when you told me.
Well, I think that kind of goes along with some of that talk we had previous. You know, we were talking about the Goliath group, we were talking about snook, we were talking about a lot of things. And, you know, regardless of the how and why, you know, conditions have changed over the years, there are a lot more of these, I'm going to say, more southerly tropical fish that show up more often.
Oh, Florida
and,
fish.
Florida fish. I, for one, am not going to complain. I mean, over the last few years, snook. I mean, I catch a lot of snook now.
Now, you catch you said that before. I'm going to stop you, Chris.
Yep.
Because, when this first started coming up, it'd be like, they caught a snook.
Yeah,
you know, I'd see a picture, they caught a snook. You said you can, there's enough that you're target. I mean, it's part of what you're doing fishing.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've caught them up to nearly 30 inches.
Wow.
I've seen and lost ones considerably bigger than that. There's trips that, you know, me and a friend, especially when we're in the kayaks, for whatever reason, we definitely do better when we're in the kayaks. It's quieter, it's stealthier. But some of these grass lines and edges along some of these bays, I mean, we'll catch sometimes 8 to 10 of them in a trip. I mean, it's happened a couple
times. That blows my mind.
And you're just, yeah. And most of the time, if you're in the bays around here and you're trout fishing or red fishing, you're in areas that are already holding these fish. And I've found that if I want to increase my chances of catching snook, I fish more aggressive retrieves, jerk baits, topwaters, a lot of stuff like that, a little bit faster retrieves, more aggressive, and you'll probably start seeing an increase in the amount of snook you end up catching.
It's amazing to me, too, that, you know, these snook holding on like that to have this fishery, right? Because 2 years ago we had the snowbageddon. This last year in January, we had a pretty significant cold pop.
Yep.
You would have thought it had knocked them out, but they're still here. I mean, it's not just, and it's not all migrators. There's got to be some setting up shop here.
Oh, we catch plenty of small ones when we're throwing nets for bait, fish that were absolutely born here. They didn't migrate here. But the resident population, especially the spawning stock that we theorize is here, that I don't think is theory as much as fact at this point, you know, they seek thermoregulated areas in the winter during those cold spells. They go up creeks and things that have, you know, whether it be spring heads or any kind of groundwater intrusion where you have a consistent water temperature of, say, mid-50s and above. Snook are cold hardy to about 55, 56 degrees. So if they can find an area where they can stay in water that warm or warmer, they can survive even the coldest spells. I mean, after Snowmageddon we had 2 years ago, I went out literally a week and a half later and caught snook. And you're talking about in areas that the surface temperature had gotten into the upper 30s.
Wow.
So they were able to stay in those warmer pockets, though, and survive, and not just like a few of them. We actually found relatively few dead snook after that event.
That answers the question I was wondering. I mean, that's
pretty
cool.
Interesting.
That is cool. Okay, and talk about inshore. As we go inshore, give me just a roundup, trout and redfish. How's it been in South Baldwin?
It's actually been very good. There's still been some trout on the beaches down Fort Morgan, although it's, you know, we wait to see after this. After all this rough weather calms, see if those fish are still there. I'm gonna think that most of them have pushed back inshore. But the grass beds all around the local area here, docks, we've had plenty of redfish from, you know, slots to, you know, well over slot fish up to 40, 42 inches in some very shallow areas, trout, and catching pretty much everything on, you know, a mix of plastics, topwaters, and, of course, live shrimp is always a go-to.
Good stuff. And people... One of, you know, the snook thing is standing out. All these other things are great, but somebody wants to come in. Can you set them up for snook, what they need to fish down there for snook, the tackle?
Yeah, I could teach them. I mean, it's one of those things. You're going to find isolated areas that have them, but they're pretty widespread. I've caught them in most bodies of water down here. And the good thing is they're a bonus. So you're fishing for redfish, you're fishing for trout, and, you know, if you just tweak a few things when you're fishing certain areas, you might add one as a bonus to the day.
I love it. All right. Tell if somebody hasn't, you know, first of all, give them your website and tell them how to find you in person as well.
I mean, pretty much you can come here by the store. We're open 7 days a week. You can give us a call at 981-5460. It's area code 251. You know, as far as the website's a work in progress. The best thing you can do is come by or give us a call.
Good stuff. Chris, I appreciate this conversation. Can't wait to talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. There goes Chris at J&M. And does that fires me? The snook talk. I mean, we had them, and I've talked about it. But to know that it's that consistent?
Had no idea.
Hey, JCs, are y'all listening? Maybe a new category? All right. Coming right back. More of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. And enjoying a new feature here. You'll be hearing updates from the folks at J&M Tackle each week.
That's great. That's going to be a good feature every week.
You know, I tell you what. I tell you who's got...
Well, I learned a couple things, you know.
Yep, and it's good for fishing reports. It's just like, if you want to know the gossip, you go to the barber shop. Even though they're not... But you know what I'm saying? The barber shop. And guys were... Yeah, women got... And welcome all the women listening to the show, too. They get their gossip, but I guess the only place dudes get gossip is like at the barber shop. You know, the old days, and that gossip could be who's killing ducks. Back in my day, it's like, so-and-so killed a limit out there the other day, or that kind of, you know, you find that out at the barber shop.
Yeah.
And so the next thing to this is talk to the folks at J&M. You get all
the tackle shop is where you really find stuff.
How many times do people come in and just spill their guts to you at the store? Like,
every day, all day.
They might not tell anybody.
They
may not
tell you their secret spot. They tell you what they caught or what they killed, but they would never tell you where they caught it or killed it.
But you probably know, my friend here knows about everybody in Mobile and Baldwin County. You could probably go, so-and-so is doing this. I know where they fish more. I know where they hunt more.
Yeah. Well, I used to.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Back then, you're probably like, they didn't have to tell you their secret spot. You're like, I know where they go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back then, I did. No doubt about it.
So we get the...
Chris, the same way.
Yeah. So that if we get the luxury on these reports, they're coming firsthand. I also want to, you know, Mike and I both excited about that snook conversation with Chris. I mean, I knew we had snook. I mean, I've been on the thing where we judge the fish and all that stuff, you know, whether there's snook brought in for a record before for Alabama. And I knew, and you'd see it on social media, someone caught a snook.
A snook.
Because, you know, that's been going on 5-10 years. Somebody caught a snook. Yeah. Hey, there was a snook caught over there.
Once or twice a year, you see it on Facebook. Yes. Somebody caught a snook. Yeah.
To hear him talking about snook, like multiple, 8 to 10 of them.
He said he could go target and catch them.
8 to 10 of them in a trip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
If y'all have never caught one, you want to.
Yeah.
They're like, they kind of got the body shape, a longer body shape, but they got the brain of a redfish. Those suckers, I mean, they pull.
Yeah.
They pull.
Never caught one.
And I've been lucky enough to catch them in Florida over the years, but never caught one in Alabama, but that's now on my list of things to do. Catch them in Alabama. Snook. By the way, the law here, you know, we were talking about that during the news break. So snook is one per person to keep. You know, you can catch as many as you want, release, but one per person, minimum size 28 inches.
Has to be 28 inches or larger to keep it.
Right. So you get one, and it has to be bigger than 28. So there you go.
Yeah.
And I mean, the way he's talking about it, you may end up. Somebody listening to us right now may end up catching a snook today.
Yeah.
The number of them.
I don't know how many that's going to be over 28 inches. The ones that I've seen on Facebook and all, they're typically smaller than that,
which is probably the idea here, right?
Because
because we want more of them.
Yeah, so you don't want to keep them.
Yeah,
you want to turn them back. I understand.
So and we'll see. I mean, maybe and that Goliath grouper talk. I mean, these Florida fish.
Yeah,
and you know what? The other one to add to that list, and I haven't talked to Sean Powers after the rodeo. Talked to him during the rodeo. You know, it was a couple years ago, he started saying people were bringing in what they thought were stud pompano in the rodeo.
Yeah.
It turned out to be permit.
Yeah, that's right.
Florida fish.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, permit, that was one of the – you watch one of those shows where they're fishing on the flats. It was bonefish and permit, man. That was the, you know, the gray ghost or whatever they used to call them.
Yeah. Things have changed. I mean, there's a lot of things here now that didn't used to be here. I mean, the snook is one of them. The Goliath grouper is one of them. And what's the grass eating? The big
carp?
No.
The grassy manatees?
Manatees.
There's not a, Mike, there's not a rodeo category for manatees.
I know that. I catch them all time releasing, but that's changed. You know, years ago there wasn't manatees around here. Years ago it wasn't Goliath grouper. Years ago, all the stuff has changed.
It is for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you talk about it. Kind of comes with that suite of fish, but we've had tarpon. I mean, tarpon were here when I was growing up. I mean, tarpon have been, heck, they're the reason they're the symbol of the rodeo.
Right.
But side note, we did jump a tarpon. We were trout fishing, but did jump a tarpon on Friday, I think.
Which is awesome.
It's awesome for the 30 seconds to last when you're fishing trout tackle, but yeah.
And I have not even heard the report on tarpon this year for the rodeo. I don't know if they caught them or they didn't. I haven't even looked to see.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, we'll go through that. So let's go through some of the stats here from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. I want to go first, though, to this subject, because this is something I talked about while you were out fishing. I was doing shows, and the kings were coming in.
Yeah.
And I started talking about this. I said, this is exactly what Mike has been talking about, and Bart Kennedy and a bunch of y'all fishing, about king mackerel and the problem with king fishing.
Right.
I used to do it a bunch. I hadn't done it really seriously in 20 years. So I've just been kind of keeping up with y'all how few kings there are. Winning king mackerel, biggest king mackerel in the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Jeff Hall, 33.95 pounds.
Yeah.
That, I mean, a good for Jeff catching the biggest one in the rodeo. But let's go back 20 years. That wouldn't even make you wouldn't get on the board daily.
You wouldn't even weigh it in.
Right.
There would be no reason to weigh it in unless it's just a fish to get on the board to win the boat or something. But yeah, you wouldn't weigh that fish in.
Think about that. So there, you know, and I want the scientists to do the science part, but on the human side, we could just look at the years of the rodeo and look at this where it used to be and where it is now.
Yeah.
3 days of fishing, the best anglers in the Gulf.
You know, there are cycles on these fish. You do have super great years, then you have good years, then you have some kind of mediocre years, but nothing. I have, out of all my years of king mackerel fishing, been 50 years or so, whatever, I have never seen it like this, ever, not even come close. I remember when Bill Nunnery won the rodeo record king mackerel. 68 or 9 pounds, whatever it was.
So, I mean, twice the size of the fish.
Yes.
Twice.
Well, I had a friend of mine that caught a 63 or 64 pound, something like that, and he didn't make the board. Yes. I can't tell you how many king mackerel were caught that year over 50 pounds. There was a lot of them, but my buddy Lance Hill did not make the board with a 60. I want to say it's 63 pounds. It might have been 62. Might have been 64. Whatever it was, 60 something pound king mackerel and didn't make third place.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
So, unbelievable.
So things have changed. But a typical year on king mackerel for the rodeo would be, you know, three fish from 50 to 55, 6, 7, 8 pounds.
In my mind, I'm thinking there's 53s,
sometimes 40s will depends come in the there, you know, some when you have a kind of a bad year or something. But always in the mid-upper 40s to 60 pounds, in that range is typically what's going to win the rodeo.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it's really, it says a lot. 3 days of fishing.
Yeah.
That many thousands of people fishing.
Yeah.
33 pounds wins that.
This is the first year I didn't spend most of my time king mackerel fishing.
And I mean, that's what you do. I mean, you have focused on kings. So why did you decide not to do it this year?
Because there hadn't been any.
Because of that.
I mean, it hasn't, not worth going and spending all your time and effort. And the people that's fishing with you, they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah,
thinking,
what are we doing
what
here?
What are we doing, you know? We're going to go fish this other rig over here, and we're going to do the same thing, go around and not do any good. I mean, it's like beat your head against the wall, you know? So we changed up. Now, I did king mackerel fish. We pre-fished on the way over there Thursday. We left off an island, went to Cocodrie, Louisiana, and we pre-fished. We probably hit 6 or 8 oil rigs on the way over there, never got a bite. And I said,
I mean, it's July.
Yeah.
And it's Mike Ward fishing them. Yeah. You didn't get a bite.
Didn't get a bite.
You didn't get knocked down from a king.
No. But, you know, I love king microfish. I just love it. And the first day of this Friday, the opening day of the rodeo, we went to a rig, beautiful water, blue water, but it was beautiful, a lot of bait around it, and we caught bait real fast. And I said, look, we just got to throw a bait out here and just see if there's something here. We'd been further west than what we had pre-fished, and that's when we caught the wahoo. So I spent probably a total of the whole weekend, maybe 3 hours or so, king mackerel fishing. But it did pay off. We caught a
winning wahoo. Yeah, and we'll talk about that. But it's funny, like, back in the day, if you said we're around here, I said we're going to catch 20 kings before you catch a wahoo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And y'all didn't catch king, but you caught the winning wahoo. Talk about that fish.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a really nice fish. And when he hit, I knew it. Oh, we're going to come back.
Okay, hold up. We'll come back from the break. Yeah. We'll pay this off when we return on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Also looking forward to events coming up in our future. What do we have? I mean, didn't mean to count here, but a month and a couple weeks away from the G&D Outdoor Expo.
Yep.
So that's going to be starting the 11th of September, that Friday.
Yep.
So go ahead.
That's always fun.
Good stuff. Put that on your calendar.
Enjoy being out there.
All right. The show's coming up here. I'll talk about hunting stuff because my sunflowers are finally up. Things are good, yeah. So
the fence working out.
Fence is working out.
Good.
So things are good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can talk about that going forward. But, yeah, we're talking about rodeo recap and saltwater fishing on today's show. You're talking about no king. This is what's wild. Just because I took a 20-year break off, you know, I haven't kingfish like that. If you told me you went somewhere and drug baits around, didn't catch a king but caught a wahoo. Back in the day, it would just be all kings.
But over there, and we were in blue water.
Yeah, okay.
And we were over west of Mississippi River. You subject catch wahoo.
Yeah, you're in deeper water.
Often.
Yeah.
I mean, we won a rodeo a couple years ago with wahoo that we were king mackerel fishing and caught a wahoo.
What were you pulling? What was
hardtails.
It? Hardtails.
Yeah, we was pulling hardtails. And that fish caused me to, we caught that wahoo, and when he hit, I knew it was either a king mackerel, a big king mackerel, or a wahoo. And a wahoo is a little different than king mackerel, too. He screams the line out and just about takes all your line off the reel, and then he stops and comes back towards your boat. And when he did that, I told everybody, I said, that's a wahoo. You know, so, and it was.
As you were saying, real.
Yeah, that's right, wide open, yeah. So anyway, we got him in the boat, and that caused me, because I wasn't going to king mackerel fish at all, but I didn't king mackerel fish. I went to wahoo fishing when I went to another rig that was real pretty, had a lot of bait on it, had a lot of blue water. I did troll around it about one or two times, but I didn't king mackerel fish very much. I bottom fished a bunch over there. And we caught a lot of fish. I mean, just a boatload of fish. And I caught something never caught before, and that was a dog snapper.
Really?
Yeah.
A Kubera?
No, a dog snapper.
Okay, not a Kubera.
Not a Kubera. It's a dog snapper. And they are the prettiest thing, Sean. I'm telling you, I've never even paid attention to them, to what they look like, but I'm going to show you a picture.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing them right now, yeah.
I'm going to show you a picture of the one we caught while we're talking.
Yeah, I guess I've seen these. I think I saw one before in Florida.
Look how pretty they are.
They are gorgeous, yeah, with that stripey.
Got stripes on them.
Yeah. Just, kind of the red, like a little bit like a red snapper, but stripes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got stripes on it. It's just a beautiful fish, you know. So I've never put one of those on the boat.
Was it in amongst red snapper, or were you? How were you?
Yeah, we were catching scamp and snapper and everything. So it was in all that. Yes,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is. I thought it was awesome. I probably should have had it mounted.
Yeah,
I mean, I probably won't ever. That's the first one I've ever put on my boat.
Hey, they may start showing up like all the other fish.
It may be. It may be something we catch every week or something. But anyway, I probably should have got it mounted because it was a beautiful fish.
How were the
size on the snapper? You said you told me you and I talked before the show that you caught a bunch of snapper.
Yeah, we load the snapper up over there. Now over there you keep four per person.
Mm-hmm.
So there was five of us. We got to keep 20
a
piece. So I mean 20 a day. So we had lots of snapper.
Sizes
are good. I mean a lot of 10 to. I'm going to say the biggest one we had was 18 pounds, but lot of 10 to 18-pound snapper.
Those are great.
Yes, yes. Had a wonderful trip. Caught some nice scamp. We hooked some fish that just tore us up. We couldn't get them out of the wrecks and the rigs and stuff.
Probably Goliath.
I don't know what it was, but whatever it was big. And the sharks would bother us a pretty good bit, too. We had some good fish coming up, and all of a sudden, you know, it takes off zinging, and a shark got it. So,
How deep are y'all fishing snapper over there?
We started out, I've got a really good spot over there that I found, and I guess it's about 120 foot. And most of it was probably 180 to 200,
okay, so
220,
230
foot.
Yeah, fairly deep.
Yeah,
snapper. I mean, if you're catching scamp too, and
yes,
so yeah. And I was looking at this snapper numbers. These pretty good
monsters.
Number one, 32.06 pounds.
Yes,
that's Brad Ellison. Then Ryan Kennedy, 28.43, and Brandon Collier, 28.41. Brandon, if you're listening, we want to get you on the show soon.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty good snapper.
Those are excellent snapper.
And I didn't think so the first day when I was looking, it was a good bit smaller.
No, I think Ryan had his the first day.
Well, it might have been later in the day, because I know when we're going in to do the show at noon.
Yeah, well, that's,
the snapper number was small. And, we figured probably, there's just people, they caught them real fast and weighed them in.
Yeah.
Listen, I know. Listen, I was on the. Yeah, I was number one on the board for a good 3 hours.
Yeah, I was trying. Yeah. If you weigh early Friday morning, you usually get first place.
But it is something, that and Bobby and I were talking about this after the rodeo and about the size, because we're talking about slot fish.
Yeah.
Right. So that fish, right, it was 3.39 pounds. Right. So it was pretty chunky. Trout. It was 21 inches. It wasn't 22. And then I knew I wouldn't stand. I was out trying to catch a better fish. I wanted to be right up against 22 inches.
Sure.
But to see fish, I wouldn't. It did it again. Fish over 4 pounds in the slot.
Yeah.
That's shaped like a rectangle is what that is.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a thick trout.
Yeah.
Because you start getting, below 22 inches, it takes a lot to get to be 4 pounds.
Yeah. For 22 inches, yes.
I mean, that's,
A 22-inch, a normal 22-inch is going to be probably around 3 pounds.
That's right.
Yes.
That is right.
2 3/4, 3 pounds.
That's right.
3 1/4.
Yep.
Yep. So.
So think we're talking about another pound bigger.
Yeah.
I mean, it says a lot here. Like, here it is. And our buddy Wayne Ladner went in that 4.26 pounds.
That's a good one. What was second place?
Dylan Knoll, 4.13.
That's close.
And Wayne D. Smith, 4.07. All three inside the slot were over 4 pounds.
Yeah. That's close.
You got to go through a lot of 21, 22-inch fish to get that, so I'm impressed.
That's almost a drop or two of water on a fish that make a difference.
Yeah, between those places. Yeah,
yes.
Very much so. But, I mean, still, all three of them being bigger than four is... This is, it says something to me, because I know it's not like I'm looking at it from a vaunted point here. I was, catching them myself, and you go through a lot of trout.
Yeah.
And just don't get, and we get them, and, we wade fish a lot, and you got that fish, you think it's, you're kind of guessing, you're talking to your buddies as you're fishing. I think this one's probably 3.5. I don't know. You get back to the boat. And so, I think it's upper threes. Okay, you put it on the boat, and it's 3.39.
Yeah.
It's a chunk, but it's not.
And I don't know where those fish were caught, inside in the bay, or
I don't know either.
On the outside in the Gulf. I mean,
I caught a lot of fish. So, I'll tell you, I fished inside in the Sound and I fished front beach.
Yeah.
Okay. It's July. I'm not
with
spilling
croakers.
Any secrets. Yeah. With croaker. I'm not spilling any secrets. We're on,
Sure.
And we didn't see any fish that made four.
Yeah.
We caught a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Just didn't,
Yeah, you got to go through a lot of them.
You got to go through.
When you have a slot fish, where you got to weigh in a slot, a certain size. Yes. You got to go through a lot of fish before you get the right one to win. I mean, look at those three were within an ounce or mm-hmm. two of each other. You know, all mm-hmm. three of them, first, second, third place. That's hard.
I mean, it is almost, if they had roe, you know, that'll do it. You know, if they have a lot of roe in them, have eggs in them,
right.
they'll do it. Or, honestly, did they chomp down two pogies, a croaker, or they hit a couple big finger bullet, you know, those kind of things.
Sure.
You know? And, I mean, I had the crazy idea. I was like, maybe we need to fish them. This is how bad it got for me. I said, maybe we need to fish them in the afternoon after they've had time to eat.
Well, maybe so they feed at night.
I know.
And you need to catch them first thing in the morning. You don't know that.
I don't know. But I was trying to find some excuse because we were catching some of our bigger fish in the morning. And I said, and then we had some fish over the slot. Of course, we had bigger fish, but they were 24, you know.
Right.
But I was like, maybe we need to come back. Maybe after they eat, and we'll get something to weigh in. All right, we're coming right back. More FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, Rodeo Recap. I know there are a lot more fish on the board. You know, we won't go through every category, just going through some to get our attention.
Right.
So, let's see. We were talking about speckled trout a second ago. We were talking all that slot stuff.
Right.
But the Lunker division, which is your biggest trout over 26. That was a funny thing, too. You know, we had somebody fishing with us. We had like a 24. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't do any good. We got to be 22 or below or over 26.
Yep.
The no man's land's between 22 and 26. So,
and what was the biggest in the
Lunker?
Yeah, the Lunker.
That's 6.17 pounds. And then next, 5.87, and third, 5.62.
All of those were really great speckled trout.
Good trout. We have had years that we've had some biggers than that, you know, than that. But that's pretty good. When you catch a real, you know, I've said this for years. When you catch a real six-pound trout, which means you put the digital scale on it. Not my cousin, he catches six-pound trout all the time.
He catches an ice chest full of six-pounders every time he goes.
You've heard that guy before, too.
Yeah.
I'm like,
heard it all my life.
You know, what a digital scale would do to that story.
Yeah, that's a three-and-a-half-pounder.
That's right.
Four-pounder. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and you know, used to have like a running thing in my head. I was like, if they're saying they're catching five-pound trout, they're 3.4.
Yeah.
If they're catching 4-pound trout, they're 2.7.
Yeah.
Like, just all the years, like, you're just training yourself. You look at that trout, you guess it, and then you put the digital scale on, it doesn't lie.
Yeah.
So that's it's a good trout. Tell you, on the shark side, too, got people's attention. I know this was coming in while we were doing shows there. Big bull shark, big tiger shark coming in.
Yeah.
So those got the crowd favorites, man.
They love it. The people just love to come down and watch those big old sharks be weighed in.
I mean, absolutely. And that, tiger was up in the 700s. Bull shark was 470. The bull shark at 478 was dang close to, I think the record's like right at 500 or something like that. So it's a big bull shark.
That's a big bull, yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. People say, it's a 1,000-pound bull shark. I'm like, well, you need to go ahead and get the scientist on that one because it's. Tell you what, I don't want to be, you know, diving or shooting fish with a 150-pound bull shark.
No.
Let alone, you know, 400, you know. So I have not yet and hope I never see the 1,000-pound bull shark that people see all the time.
Yeah, especially if you're swimming.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I'm happy that I've never seen it. Hey, listen, I've had a 150-pound bull shark have me get right back out of the water onto the boat. So
yeah.
It's big enough. Oh, and go ahead.
I was going to tell you a quick story. Something happened to us during the rodeo that never had happened before. We were catching bait, and we were catching hardtails, and we were catching bluefish, and we were catching Spanish, and we caught a pompano. And put the pompano in the live well. I said, nobody, don't use that for bait. We're going to weigh that in.
Yeah, that's a rodeo fish.
But we were catching bait and didn't have time to, you know, everybody's got four, five, six hardtails, whatever,
right.
on the line, and we're taking them all, putting them in the live
here
well.
Here we go.
Yeah. And anyway, Michael, my son's back there taking the fish off and putting them in the live well, and he said a bluefish just jumped out of the boat. And
he said there wasn't a bluefish.
I said, dead gum. I said, well, I hate that. I said, that's good bait, but that's okay. And then come to find out, we went to looking for the
pompano.
The bluefish didn't jump out. It was the pompano jumped out of the boat. And he would have won something. He was a 2 pound something.
That's a stud.
I mean, it was a really good pompano compared to what, I don't even know what weighed in. Do you,
see,
you're
Let's see if
up,
I can find if I pompano find, this year 2.45 pounds won it.
Yeah, I mean he was right at that. You know, a real nice pompano. I knew it was something we wanted to weigh in. I should have just threw him on the floor and then put him in the ice chest. Yep. But I never dreamed the pompano would jump out of my live well.
That's funny. And cleared the boat.
Cleared the boat. He went straight on back down in the around the rig.
Does he have a story to tell?
Yeah.
Listen,
said,
y'all.
Man,
I was
you
in,
won't believe what I saw.
You know, also the blackfish coming in, triple tail, were some studs again this year. My crew that I fish with, we were talking about a couple of years ago when guys came in with three of the biggest blackfish we'd ever seen, and they same boat, they won, you know, first through third. But not bad this year. Hayes Cornelius, 34.69 pound blackfish.
That's a good one.
That is a stud.
That is a stud. What is it again?
34.69 pounds.
That is a really big one. That's one you want to mount.
That is, yeah.
You want to get that one mounted.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's stop sign size.
Yes.
Stedman McMurphy, 32.22 pounds, and Brian Raymond, 27.85. All good blackfish on that. What's impressive as well, and we talked about this too on one of the show, maybe Saturday, they have the live release for blackfish.
Yeah.
Now, you keep it – I mean, you've got a heck of a live well in your boat, but you got to have a lot of live well to keep a big blackfish in.
You do, and you got to come in pretty quick, too. You can't just stay out there all day long in a bay boat normally. You don't have
so get
big
this.
Enough live well.
Picture
to
keep this. So, Victoria Tournay, 26.17 pounds in a live well.
In a bay boat live well, I'm sure. He wasn't fishing in a guff boat live well.
20.
Yeah.
So you picture that pompano in your live well.
Yeah.
You started, I mean, all three of them, the live release were, there's 26, 24, 24. All been kept alive. I'm just, y'all call into the show or something like that or send us a message. I want to know what kind of live well system you got because I'm impressed. It's got to be big.
I'm telling you, when they catch that fish, they bring him in pretty quick. They're not staying out there very long, I'm sure. And keeping it alive.
No joke. It's the keeping it alive part, right, with your aeration and all that stuff. Although blackfish probably don't have to have as much aeration because, heck, you'll see them in some pretty still water, you know. But just the size. Y'all hold a 25-pound blackfish and put that joker in a live well.
Yeah.
You're going to have some space there on that.
I want to tell you what, blackfish eat so good, too. I want to tell you what, that's some of the best. People talk about scamp and all that. Scamp is good, too. But blackfish, it's right there with it. It might be better. I love it.
Talking about things that eat good, too. Things are coming back, I think. Hope. Flounder, 6.05 pounds for the winning
really
flounder.
Really good flounder, yes.
I mean, the flounder was almost, the biggest flounder was almost as big as the biggest speckled trout.
Yeah.
Pretty think close. About that? Yeah, 6.05. Then 5.21 for Jacob Howard. John Bitten had 6.05. Jacob Howard, 5.21. And Kenneth Pritchard, 4.08. So good flounder in that.
Congratulations to everybody on the rodeo that won anything. First, second, third place, it don't matter. Congratulations.
The boat.
Yep.
Congratulations to you and your team. And we'll do it all again next week.